إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone. Is it working? And that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue and perhaps complete the topic that we started in the last session before our dinner last week, and that is the adab or the manners or etiquettes that one should observe when attending the masjid. And this topic actually is a continuation of the final chapters of the book Kitab or Ta'zim al-Salat by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Musin al-Abad al-Badr Hafidhahumullah. And in the previous session we talked primarily about the masjid as a place of learning. The masjid as a place of learning, that it is a center and a source and a place from which knowledge is disseminated. And today we'd like to talk about the topic of women and children attending the masjid, the permissibility of women and children attending the masajid, and some of the matters that should be observed in reference to their attendance in the masjid. And before we enter into the topic of the attendance of women at the masjid, we'd like to quickly review, just in summary, some of the important matters that we discussed previously concerning the etiquettes or adab of attending the masjid. And maybe if we can get your participation, somebody can remember some of the things that we mentioned in the previous session concerning this topic of adab of the masjid. Does anybody remember? Like, first and foremost, from the beginning, what are some of the essential things that we should observe? Now,
cleanliness and the prohibition of smelling life.
Cleanliness. Cleanliness in attending the masjid. A person should attend to their cleanliness when they attend the masjid and be careful of attending the masjid with odors that are offensive to the people and to the angels. Now, Abdul Malik?
Making dua
upon entering the masjid. Now, what else? Now,
sitting with your right foot.
Okay, entering the masjid, with the right foot first. Somebody else. Now, Adam. Going to the masjid early. Now, trying to attend the masjid on time, or rather than just on time, actually trying to get to the masjid early, as opposed to the norm of too many people. Our habit and our custom and perhaps even our intention is to get to the masjid late. We don't really care about being at the masjid on time. Naam, Mustafa.
Keeping your voice low.
Naam. That a person should not raise their voice without need or necessity. Without some need or necessity or some benefit in raising the voice. Naam, Abu Jamil.
Making dua
on the way to the masjid. As a person is going to the masjid, there's dua also that's legislated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Adam. Walking with peace and tranquility in a calm, tranquil manner, not running and hastening to the masjid. Naam, somebody in the back, I can't see. Oh, Saif.
Don't forget to turn your phone down.
Naam. Yani, don't disturb people in any way, especially with these telephones. Yani, turn your telephone off, or at least put it on silent. Naam, Bila Abdurrahim.
Don't read the Quran loud as to disturb others.
Naam, not even reading the Quran out loud, disturbing people with the Quran. It's not permissible to raise your voice even with the Quran, in salat or out of the salat. It's not permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited this. He prohibited people from doing so. Naam, Sadiq. And for dhikr of Allah, what? And not for worldly affairs. Yani, the purpose of attending the masjid should be for worship, for the remembrance of Allah, for dhikr of Allah and dua and recitation of Quran and salat. Mustafa?
Yes.
Yeah, not to raise your voice, even in greeting the people. Even in greeting the people, you shouldn't raise your voice in the masjid without need or necessity. Naam, Abdullah. Naam, a person shouldn't come to the masjid with their breath, with an offensive odor in their mouth from eating onions or garlic, which the Prophet ﷺ has prohibited a person who has this foul odor to come to attend the masjid, to come near to the masjid with this type of odor, or what's worse than that, other odors from things that are not even lawful, from that which is haram. What, help me get your name, brother.
Yahya.
Yahya, naam, Yahya. You shouldn't decorate the masjid. Naam, the masjid should not be decorated. Naam. Fadl.
The prohibition of tijara in the masjid.
Prohibition of buying and selling in the masjids. Naam. Naam, Adam. Praying 2 rak'ah when you enter the masjid. Naam.
Guarding salawat and staying in the masjid between.
And he's sitting in the masjid between the prayers, waiting, yani, for the next prayer. Naam. All these are from some of the sunnahs that we mentioned. And there are many, many, many beyond this. From the most important of them, though, is that a person purify themselves at home before they come to the masjid. That they come to the masjid early, or at least on time. That they come walking, yani, calm and tranquil. That they recite the du'as that the Prophet ﷺ recited on the way to the masjid. That they recite the du'a that the Prophet ﷺ, du'as that he recited on entering the masjid. Entering with the right foot, praying 2 rak'ah when you enter the masjid. Before anything else, before sitting down, and so on. And giving care to the masjid when you're in the masjid, recognizing the sanctity of the masjid and its importance, keeping it clean and maintaining it, and so on. These are some of the things that we mentioned last week, and there are others, and this will suffice as a summary, as a reminder. The topic that we want to talk about tonight is a lengthy topic, and hopefully, inshallah, we will complete it, bi-idhni Allahi ta'ala. And the first part of that topic is the women attending the masajid, the permissibility of women attending the masajid. And there are 2 points behind this topic. The first of them is that there are people from certain cultures who don't allow women to attend the masjids. There are certain countries where the women are not allowed to attend the masjids. And some of those people, when they came here, they continued with this practice that has nothing to do with Islam. Rather, there are some masjids right here in New York. If you go there with your wife, they won't let your wife in the masjid. She has to sit in the car. She can't pray. She can't enter the masjid. And this is the first part of the topic, that is the legality, the permissibility of women attending the masjid. That this is permissible. It's not, yani, it's not right. It's not right to prohibit, to make an absolute prohibition from women attending the masjid. And the second part of it is that with that permissibility, there are conditions. They are adab and they are ahkam. Yani, they are manners that should be observed by the women when they attend the masjid. And they are legal rulings, ahkam. Yani, things that are permissible and things that are prohibited for the women when they attend the masjid that must be observed. So let us begin by mentioning a hadith that is reported from Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Muttafaqun alayh. Which indicates the prohibition of preventing women. It's prohibited to prevent women from attending the masjids. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. لا تمنعوا. لا النهي. يعني the la that indicates that it is prohibited. To do what? To prevent the women servants of Allah from attending the masjid. لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar. In a narration of this hadith, in another wording of the hadith that is from Abdullah ibn Umar, also reported by both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا اسْتَأَذَنَتْ أَحَدُكُمْ امْرَأَتُهُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا تَمْنَعْهَا. Yani, if the wife of one of you asks for permission to go to the masjid, فَلَا تَمْنَعْهَا. لَا تَمْنَعْهَا. Yani, here again, this is لَا النَّاهِيَة. Do not prohibit them. Do not prevent them. Do not stop them. And in another narration that is reported by Al-Bukhari, also from Abdul ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, yani Abdul ibn Umar reported about a wife of his father, Umar, radiallahu anhu, كانت امرأة لعمر تشهد صلاة الصبح والعشاء في الجماعة في المسجد. That there was one of the wives of Umar who used to attend the morning prayer, Salatul Subh, Fajr, and the night prayer, Salatul Isha. And both of these prayers are the prayers of the night, right? Because it's dark at the time of Fajr and it's dark at the time of Isha. And she used to go to the masjid in the darkness of Fajr and in the darkness of Isha to perform the prayer in Jama'ah in the masjid. فَقِيلَ لَهَا. So it was said to her, لِمَا تَخْرُجِينَ وَقَدْ تَعْلَمِينَ أَنَّ عُمَرَ يَقْرَهُ ذَلِكَ وَيَغَارُ. Why is it that you are going out, yani out of the house, to the masjid, to attend the prayers, when you know that Umar hates this? He hates that you are going out of the house like this. And he is very jealous. Yani he is concerned, with righteous concern, about his wife being out in the night. She said, قالت وما يمنعه أن ينهاني. So what is it that's stopping him from preventing me then? And if he doesn't like it, why don't he stop me? Tell me don't go. Force me to stay in the house. What is it that is stopping him from prohibiting me? قال يمنعه قول رسول الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. Yani what is preventing him is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, do not prevent the women slaves of Allah from attending the masjids. And Umar didn't like her to go out, but he knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't stop them, don't prevent them. If they ask permission, don't forbid them from attending the masjids. And these narrations are clear in Bukhari and Muslim, in clearly indicating the permissibility of women attending the masjid, rather the prohibition of stopping them. Al-Allama As-Sindi, rahimahullah, in his notes or commentary on the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, he said the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَلَا يَمْنَعْهَا. Do not prohibit them. He said in these words, in this hadith, al-hadith muqayyid bima ulima min al-hadith al-ukhr min adam isti'mal tibin wa zinatin. That this hadith, do not prohibit them, is muqayyid, yani it is restricted. It is defined, further defined, yani it's not absolute mutlaq that you can't prohibit them, rather there are some conditions that must be observed. It's muqayyid by that which is well known from other hadith of the prohibition of the woman going out when she has used some sweet smelling perfume or she has adorned herself with adornments, yani that attract men. The smell that attracts men or the clothing that attracts men, yani in the well known hadith. This hadith is restricted. It is defined by those hadith which prohibit the woman from going out in certain conditions or circumstances. So that as long as she fulfills those conditions, don't prohibit her. But if she doesn't, then you must prohibit her. Then you must prohibit her. Al-Alama Sindi, rahimahullah, he says this hadith is restricted by those well-known hadith which prohibit the women from going out while wearing sweet-smelling perfume or adorning herself with adornments. So it is incumbent on the man not to allow her to go out of her house except that she goes out in the condition that's allowed by the Sharia. That she goes out having fulfilled the conditions that allow her to go out. وَيَنْبَغِي لِلْمَرْأَى أَنْ لَا تَخْرُجْ بِذَلِكَ الْوَجْهِ لِلصَّلَاةِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ إِلَّا عَلَى قِلَّةٍ إِلَّا عَلَى قِلَّةٍ لِمَا عُلِمَ أَنَّ صَلَاتَهَا فِي الْبَيْتِ أَفْضَلُ. Yani, he's saying that it is incumbent upon the man to not allow her to go out unless she goes out in the condition that the Sharia allows. And then it is incumbent upon the woman not to go out in that permissible manner, in the way that the Sharia has allowed. It's incumbent upon her not to go out in that permissible manner for the salah in the masjid, except that she does it sometimes. Ala qillatin. Yani, not a lot, a little bit. Sometimes. Not five times a day, every day of the week. This is based upon the fact that what is well known, that her salat in her home is afdal, is better for her. Yani, is it permissible for her to go out? If she observes the rules of the Sharia, naam, it's permissible. But it's incumbent upon her not to do it every day, all the time. Why? Because of what is known from the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that her prayer in her home is better for her than the prayer in the masjid. Yani, if her prayer in her home is better for her, then her going out is permissible. But she should perform the prayer in the place that's best. In the same way that the man performs the prayer in the place that's best for him, which is the masjid. Yani, if a man prayed at home for some reason, for some sharia excuse, no harm, but he shouldn't make it a habit. Rather, that should be something that happens a little bit. Why? Because what is well known, that his prayer in the masjid is better for him. Just like his prayer in the masjid is better for him, her prayer in her home is better for her. But is it permissible for her to go to the masjid if she observes the law of the Sharia? Naam, it's permissible. But it shouldn't be her habit. It shouldn't be her habit that every prayer she prays in the masjid and abandons the prayer in the place that is better for her. I hope it's clear. We are saying that the woman is allowed to go to the masjid, and if she observes the rules of Sharia, her husband should not prohibit her. However, she shouldn't make it a habit to perform every prayer in the masjid and abandon that which is better for her. Will you give up that which is better for you for that which is less? So, Al-Allama As-Sindi, rahimahullah, he goes on to say, yes, if she wants to go out in that permissible manner that the Sharia has allowed, then it's not proper for her husband to stop her. It's not proper, it's not befitting for her husband to stop her. And the saying or the view of the scholars of fiqh that she's prohibited from going to the masjid, those who say she's not allowed to go to the masjid, this is based upon their view or consideration of the condition in that time period that they are living in. Meaning in a certain time period where the fitna is widespread and corruption is widespread and there are dangers for a woman to go out of a house, then it's based on this. It's not based on the original ruling, the hukm shar'i. The hukm shar'i, the original ruling is that a woman is allowed to go to the masjid. But they are considering what? The hal az-zaman, the condition of that particular time that may be dangerous for a woman to go out of a house, yani, because of the situation at that time. However, this view of the prohibition that they hold is not necessary, because what is achieved by them prohibiting the woman, saying it's prohibited, What is yani the intention of that, or the objective of that, is achieved by what has already been mentioned of the restrictions that are well known in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that restrict the woman from going out of a house except when she abides by the rules of the Sharia. And from the general rules is that she shouldn't go out of a house in a situation of danger or corruption or fear of harm coming to her or violation of her honor and her respect and her decency. So there is no need for this view that the woman is prohibited to go out absolutely, and Allah knows best. Yani that's the end of his saying. Here we mention the hadith, another hadith that is befitting to keep in mind when we look at this issue of the permissibility, the right of women to attend the masjids, that which is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Yahya ibn Sa'id from Amrata bint Abdul Rahman. Yani, the woman whose name was Amra, she was the daughter of Abdul Rahman. أنها سمعت عائشة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تقول لو أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى ما أحدث النساء لمنعهن المسجد كما منعت نساء بني إسرائيل. Yani Aisha radiallahu anha, yani Amrata, the daughter of Abdurrahman radiallahu anha, she said that I heard Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has seen what the women are doing these days, ma ahtafat an-nisa, in these days, yani in the life of Aisha radiallahu anha, in the life of Aisha radiallahu anha, what the women were doing, some women, some of them, what they were doing. She is saying, Aisha radiallahu anha is saying, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw what the people, what the women are doing today, he would have prevented them from attending the masjids in the same way that the women of Bani Israel were prevented from attending the masjids. The narrator said, فَقُلْتُ يعني Yahya ibn Sa'id said, I said to Umra, to Amrata, the woman who he heard the hadith from, أَنِسَاءُ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلُ مُنِعْنَا الْمَسْجِدُ, have the women of Bani Israel been prohibited from entering the masjids, from attending the masjids? She said, نَعَمْ نَعَمْ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. And this hadith reported by Bukhari Muslim, and the exact wording is from Al-Imam Muslim rahimahullah. قال النووي, Al-Imam النووي said concerning this hadith in Sahih Muslim, and in his commentary on Sahih Muslim he said, Al-Imam النووي rahimahullah, her saying, yani the saying of Aisha radiallahu anha, that if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seen what the women today are doing, he would have prevented them from the masjid, yani min al-zina wa al-tib wa husni al-thiyab wallahu alam. Yani if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seen the women, the way they are dressing, they are adorning themselves in the public now, and they are wearing sweet-smelling perfumes, and their beautiful dresses that they are wearing. He's saying that this is what she means. Yani she's referring to what? How the people have begun to change the way the women went out into the public, in a way that, in her view, radiallahu anha, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen this, he would have prevented the women. Yani because of that, not absolute prohibition of women, but due to the fitna that's caused by what, how the people had digressed away from the Sunnah and the Sharia. Now this statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, if we consider this was in her lifetime, and she died during the Khilafah of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, yani in the year 57 or 58 of the Hijrah, yani just 57 or 58 years after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she saw this change having taken place. So what could be said, or what would be said, in the ages, in the eras, and in the generations that followed the lifetime of Aisha? What yani kind of corruption did we see spread throughout the earth? Here, quickly, I want to try to go through some discussion concerning this matter of the women attending the masjids, some of the adab that must be observed, from a discussion from Sheikh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. First, we mention the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, كان النساء المؤمنين يشهدن الفجر مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم يرجعن متلفعات بمروتهن ما يعرفن من الغلس. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, The women of the believers, the wives of Sahaba, they used to attend the Fajr prayer with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then they used to return from the prayer, yani to their homes, covering themselves with their pieces of their, yani, waist garments or aprons, so that they would not be known due to them covering and due to the darkness. Yani the Fajr prayers in the time of darkness. Yani the Prophet ﷺ used to complete the Fajr prayer, finish the Fajr prayer, even though he recited from 60 to 100 ayat. He used to finish the Fajr prayer and it was still dark outside. Which also is an indication of the preference of praying the Fajr prayer in the beginning of its time. Yani the women would leave from the masjid, covering themselves, and in the cover of darkness. And no one will even know who they are in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So this puts a picture, a context on the reality of the permissibility of women attending the masjids, even the Fajr prayer and Isha prayer. But under what conditions though? Under what conditions? Not in any situation. Aisha radiallahu anha, she's the one who narrated this hadith. And she's also the one who said, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw what the people, women are doing today, he would have prohibited them from attending the masjids. Aisha radiallahu anha. She was a scholar of fiqh and a scholar of hadith and one of the most learned of all, yani, of companions, men and women. This hadith, and likewise, yani, along with, yani, this hadith shows the permissibility of women attending the masjids, even the Fajr prayer, along with the hadith that we mentioned previously of the Prophet ﷺ, do not prevent the slave servant, women of Allah, the women servants of Allah, from attending the masjids of Allah. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, commenting in Al-Mumti', the book of fiqh, from the Hanbali madhab, commenting on this book, he says, some of the ulama said that this hadith contains nahyu, yani a prohibition. La tamna ima Allah, yani the women servants of Allah from the masajid of Allah. That this hadith contains a prohibition, yani prohibition of stopping the women from going to the masjids. Wal asl fil nahyi at-tahrim, and the original ruling concerning a prohibition in the Quran or in the Sunnah is that it indicates tahrim, that something is haram. And if the Prophet ﷺ prohibited something, it means that it's haram. It's haram. That's the original ruling. Unless there's some other indications that he only intended to, yani, discourage it. So based upon this, it is prohibited for the man who is responsible for a woman to stop that woman from going to the masjid if she wants to go to the masjid to pray with the Muslims. هذا القول هو الصحيح. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said what? This view, that is prohibited for the man to stop the woman from attending the masjid if she wants to pray with the Muslims, this is the correct view of the scholars. And this is indicated by that which has been reported from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. لما قال له ابنه بلال حينما حدث بهذا الحديث والله لنمنعهن. Reported by Imam Muslim. Yani, this meaning is indicated in that which occurred from Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah when his son, Bilal, when his son said to him, when he narrated this hadith, don't prevent the women, slaves of Allah, from attending the masjids of Allah. When he narrated the hadith, his son Bilal said to him, by Allah, we will prevent them. We will prevent them. Yani Abdullah ibn Umar narrated the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't prevent them. His son said to him, by Allah, we will prevent them. Why? Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, لِأَنَّهُ رَأَى الْفِتْنَةِ وَتَغَيْرُ الْأَحْوَالِ. Because he saw the fitna of the women going out to the masjids, decorated, perfumed, fitna. And he saw the change in the times. It wasn't like in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. For this reason he said that. But nonetheless, and the Shaykh mentions before that, he said, and he reminds us of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, supporting this idea of the son of Abdullah bin Umar. Supporting this idea, the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, that if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw what the people, women are doing today, he would have prevented them. So her view of this matter is like the view of Bilal, the son of Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So the Shaykh says, yani, so when he said, yani, when Bilal, the son of Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhum, when he said, wallahi, we will prevent them. Abdullah ibn Umar stepped to him, to his son, أَقْبَلَ إِلَيْهِ فَسَبَّهُ سَبًّا شَدِيدًا مَا سَبَّهُ مِثْلَهُ قَطْ. He abused him orally. يعني سَبَّهُ سَبًّا شَدِيدًا. Severe reproach, rebuke. Very, very seriously. Like he never had said anything يعني as severe as this before. And he said to him, يعني Abdullah said to his son Bilal, أقول لك قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تمنع إماء الله مساجد الله وتقول والله لا نمنعهن. يعني I say to you that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said don't prevent them from attending the masjid, and you say by Allah you will prevent them. فهجره. So he abandoned him. يعني he abandoned his son, not to talk to him or to visit him or to see him after this. لأن هذا مضادة لكلام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهذا أمر عظيم. Because his son, his statement is in contradiction to the speech of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this is a very, very, very tremendous affair. يعني the high status, the recognition and respect for the speech of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم amongst the Salaf, yani the early generation of the Muslims, we didn't find the likeness of this amongst any people who came after them, showing respect for the speech of anyone like the respect for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And rightly so. And rightly so. Now, unfortunately today, the people have respect for their scholars and their sheikhs and their imams more than they have respect for the speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this action of Abdul ibn Umar, and his action of rebuking his son severely and then abandoning him, boycotting him, cutting him off completely, this is an indication of the tahrim, the prohibition of preventing the women from attending the masjids. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, walakin idha taghayyara al-zaman. However, if the times change, yani and the conditions change, فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يُقْنِيَ أَهْلَهُ بِعَدْمِ الْخُرُوجِ حَتَّى لَا يَخْرُجُوا وَيَسْلَمُ هُوَ مِنْ إِرْتِكَابِ النَّهِي الَّذِي نَهَى عَنْهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Yani if the times change and there's danger and her safety is, yani there's concern for her safety and her, yani morality and the, yani protection of her honor as a Muslim woman. If the times change, the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, it is incumbent upon the man to convince his wife not to go out. To convince her not to go out. So that he doesn't fall into that which has been prohibited by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Convince her. Explain to her. Make her see and understand that this is dangerous for you to go out there. Subhanallah. Look at the wisdom of our Imam, our Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Convince them. Don't beat her. Don't whip her. Don't threaten her. But convince her. Talk to her. And show her. If she has fear of Allah and love for the deen and the sunnah, talk to her. Talk to her. And the narration from Humaid, the wife of Abi Humaid As-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them. Look at this hadith. Yani to keep the balance in the affair, that she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said, Ya Rasulullah, inni uhibbu as-salat ma'aka. O Messenger Allah, I love to pray with you. And she loved to go to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pray in the jama'ah with the Messenger of Allah. Yani what believer wouldn't love to pray with the Messenger of Allah? She said, I love to pray with you. I love this. I love to be there in this prayer and jama'ah. And some of the men today, they don't love to go to the masjid and pray in jama'ah. Here's a woman who said, I love to pray in the jama'ah with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنَّكِ تُحِبِّينَ الصَّلَاةِ مَعِي. I know for sure that you love to pray with me. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is prayer where? In the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where who has the imam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that woman, in that time, in his lifetime, وَسَلَاتُكِ فِي بَيْتِكِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ سَلَاتِكِ فِي حُجْرَتِكِ. However, the prayer of you, your prayer, يعني, in the inner part of your home, is better than the prayer in the hujr, the outer part of your house. يعني, the part that's accessible to people. وَسَلَاتُكِ فِي حُجْرَتِكَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ سَلَاتِكِ فِي دَارِكِ. And the salat in that outer part of the house, not outside the house, but yani not the inner chambers of the house, the salat in your hujra is better for you than the salat in your dar, yani in the outer circumference of the house. وَسَلَاتُكِ فِي دَارِكِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ سَلَاتِكِ فِي مَسْجِدِ قَوْمِكِ. And the salat in the outside of your house is better than the salat in the masjid of your people. Yani, is it permissible to pray in the masjid of your people? Naam. But to pray in the courtyard of your house is better than praying in the masjid. And to pray inside of the doors of your house is better than praying in your courtyard. And to pray in the inner chambers of your house is better than to pray in the inside the walls of your house. That's not as secure as that innermost chamber. Humaid, radiallahu anha, she said, I love to pray with you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam convinced her that her prayer in the inner yani places of her house is better than praying outside or praying in the masjid, فَأَمَرَتْ فَبُنِيَ لَهَا مَسْجِدٌ فِي أَقْصَى شَيْءٍ مِنْ بَيْتِهَا وَأَظْلَمَهُ وَكَانَتْ تُصَلِّي فِيهِ حَتَّى لَقِيَتَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So when she heard this from the Prophet ﷺ, she accepted. And she ordered that a place, a musalla, a masjid, a place for prayer, be built in the inner, yani the most inner place in her house. And she darkened it so that there is no light in that place. And she prayed in that place until she met Allah. And she didn't go to the congregational prayer again. قال الدمياطي رحمه الله. The women in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go out of their houses. But they used to go out covering themselves with their garments and their aprons so that they would not be known due to their covering and due to the ghalas, yani the darkness. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make taslim, yani finishing the salat, saying assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, yuqalu لِلْرِجَالِ مَكَانَكُمْ حَتَّى يَنْصَرْفَ النِّسَاءِ. Yani it would be said to the men, when the Prophet ﷺ finished the prayer, it would be said to the men, stay in your places until the women leave. Stay in your places. Don't get up and mix with the women. Brothers, listen to this hadith. You're in the masjid, and there's only one exit for men and women. The salat is over, the dars is over, the gathering is complete. Stay in your places. Let the women exit. Don't have the women complaining to us that they can't get out of the masjid, except that men and young brothers are blocking the doorway and the stairway and the ramp, so they have to squeeze through crowds of men. Makanakum. Give the women a chance to get out of the masjid. We don't have a separate door. We don't have another exit. Allow the women to get out without this fitna. Naam. So, the women, sometimes the women didn't have any chance to attend the circles of the gatherings of learning, of knowledge, and the lectures, the Islamic lectures, except that they prayed in the masjid. That was the only way they could get the benefit. So in that case, there's no harm in the women going to the masjid for this purpose. There's no harm in the women. Yani, بِذَهَابِهَا إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْلِ الْعِلْمِ. Yani, she's going out for some purpose. Not for every prayer, all day and night and every day, but rather for some purpose that she is trying to achieve a benefit in accordance with the Sharia. And then, yani, for the sake of time, yani, the Shaykh mentions a number of points. That if the woman does go out to the masjid for a legitimate purpose, what are some of the things that should be observed and given care to? And although this is addressed to the women, but some of it is applicable to men also. But it's addressed to the women. If the woman has a legitimate reason that supports her going to the masjid, then it is incumbent upon her to avoid the mistakes or errors that some women have fallen into. And from amongst them is خروج بعد النساء إلى المسجد وهن متعطرات. That is, some of the women go out to the masjid while they are perfumed. They are putting on perfume, scent that can be smelled. And they are going to the masjid in this condition. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith reported by Imam Muslim, سَأَيُّمَا إِمْرَأَةٍ أَصَابَتْ بُخُورًا فَلَا يَشْهَدْ مَعَنَا صَلَاةَ الْعِشَاءِ. That any woman who has been touched or who has used or applied to herself some sweet smelling scent, then do not attend with us the Salat al-Isha. Yani, don't come to the masjid while you have this, yani, scent on you. Number two, خروج بعدهن متبرجات قد كشفنا عن بعض أجسادهن كالأيد والأذرع ولبس ما يفتن على الرجال كالأباية المتبرجة وكشف وجوههن. He said, the Shaykh rahimahullah says, and also some of the women going out, mutabarrijat, yani going out, exposing themselves, yani mutabarrij, not just decorating themselves, but exposing parts of their body that should not be seen. He said, exposing some parts of their bodies, like their hands and their forearms, and wearing clothing that is a fitna for the men, like the abaya, yani the overgarment that is decorated. The purpose of the overgarment is so that the woman is not going out decorated, but they decorate the overgarment and uncovering their faces. Number three, accompanying, yani, being accompanied by their children, yani, women bringing their children to the masjid. And this is part of our topic tonight. If we will reach it, Allahu A'lam. But the permissibility of bringing children to the masjid, the permissibility of children attending the masjid, but with conditions. So the Shaykh is saying here the general problem of women bringing the children with them without observing the conditions that should be observed. Yani, allowing the children to run wild, especially as we see in Ramadan. We don't know if the children fell down the stairs or went out into the street. Going to the masjid accompanied by their children, mimma, yani, from that which harms the people in the gathering and cause, yani, discomfort and disturbing the people who are praying and occupying them, distracting them from their worship. And they even bring the child that they are breastfeeding, a suckling child, to the masjid, and they leave it on the floor while they are occupied with their prayer. And the child is crying, screaming, disturbing everyone around them. If you bring the child to the masjid, attend to them. Attend to the child. So that the child is not a disturbance for the people in their worship, or in their dars, or in their dhikr or dua, recitation of the Quran. Number four, Some of the women sitting between the raka'at, he's talking about tahajjud, taraweeh, in the taraweeh prayer. Some of the women sitting between the raka'at and talking until the imam is about to go to ruku'. And some men do it also. And some boys do it too. They sit in the back and they sit and talk. And when the imam is going to ruku', mashallah, they have fiqh. They know if you catch the imam in ruku', you got the raka'ah, right? So they wait for the imam to go to ruku'. If he stands for 10, 15, 20 minutes, they just talk and play. And then they jump up quickly and join ruku'. This is not exclusive to women. This is also including the men. And especially some of our young people. They wait until the imam is almost about to go to ruku', then they jump up and they join the raka'ah. هَذَا خَطَأٌ This is a mistake. Because with this, they have not performed takbiratul ihram with the imam. And they have not recited al-fatiha with the imam. While they have occupied with themselves with something that they do not have a sharia excuse to be occupied with. Yani the person who came late to the salat, and they caught the imam in ruku', naam. But the person who's in the masjid, and they're sitting. Maybe they're on security. They're watching to make sure nobody's coming to the masjid. But when the imam is getting ready to go to ruku', they're not security anymore. They join the raka'ah. What is this nonsense? Naam. The person who has a legitimate excuse, who came late, unavoidably, that's one thing. But the person who's there, present, when the imam made takbiratul ihram, and they don't care about it. And the imam recited al-fatiha, and they don't care about it. And the imam is reciting Quran, and they don't care about it. Then when the imam goes to ruku', mashallah, now they're joining the prayer. What kind, whose prayer is this? Yani, what sunnah is this? The shaykh also talked about, yani, again, for the sake of time, yani, paying attention to the lines, completing the lines, lining up straight, lining up, yani, properly for the salat, yani, giving care to this, paying attention to this. And he talked about, and this is particularly, yani, common, it's not common with us so much, although it's possible, but the women attending the masjid, they are coming to the masjid, being driven by a man who is not mahram for them. This is very common in the Gulf countries, where the women, they don't have a license to drive, but they have a driver, who is not their father or their brother or their son. Rather, he's an employee, employed by their husband to drive them around. And they go to the masjid in the car, alone with that man. And although we don't have this here so much, but we do have taxis. Women getting in a taxi with a man who is not a mahram for them. Any case of emergency, daruri, that's one thing. But to make this as a habit and a custom, it's not permissible. This is khalwa, it's haram for a Muslim woman to be alone with a man who is not, yani, from the prohibited degrees. And like her father, or her brother, or her son, or her uncle, or her grandfather, and so on. The shaykh says, after the completion of the salat, some of the women, they sit talking. May Allah guide them. Some of the men also sit talking. May Allah guide us. And perhaps they enter into speech that is muharram, haram, forbidden. And what is obligatory? Upon the women, after the completion of the salat, if they're not waiting for their husband to take them home, is that they should leave and go back to their homes in order to escape and to distance themselves from intermingling with the men. Number 8. Some of the women, due to the ignorance of the ahkam, the legal rulings of the salat in jama'ah, and some of the men likewise, were ignorant of the rulings concerning the salat in jama'ah, they come to the masjid, men and women, and the imam, yani, had already began the salat al-taraweeh. And they didn't pray Isha. So these people, yani, he says women, but I say these people who don't know the legal rulings concerning the Salat and the Jama'ah either fall into one or the other of two positions. Some of them, they pray the Isha prayer quickly in their homes before they came to the masjid in order for them to catch the Taraweeh. Yani, they race through the Isha prayer, which is obligatory, in order to catch the Taraweeh prayer, which is not obligatory. And in this way, yani, they have performed the obligatory prayer in a manner that's defective in order to catch the sunnah prayer. And they have, yani, forgotten, or they are unaware of the saying of the Prophet, of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Hadith Qudsi, that my servant, yani, doesn't get nearer to me by anything that's more beloved to me than that which I have made obligatory upon them. Yani, that the obligatory duty is a means of nearness to Allah more than the sunnah act, which is praiseworthy, but it's not the equal. The other people, what they do, they pray two rak'ah hastily, and then they try to catch the imam in the two rak'ah of Taraweeh that he's praying. Yani, the imam is praying the first rak'ah, they try to pray two rak'ah quickly before he can finish one rak'ah. And then they make those two rak'ah for the Isha, and the two rak'ah they catch with the imam, four rak'ah for Isha. This is what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said. Some people are doing this. And by doing so, this and the one before them, they haven't reached the sunnah. Rather, they have lost out on the khushu' that we have been commanded with. And that which is sunnah and correct is that they should enter upon the salat with the imam of Taraweeh with the intention of Isha. And if the imam completes two rak'ah, then they can stand up and take their time and pray with khushu' and calmness the two rak'ah that are remaining. This is what is correct. And this is for men and women. And some of the women, and some of the men, I don't know what the women do, but the Shaykh is saying some of the women. I have seen men do this. Some of the people, they prostrate with the imam, and if the imam comes up from prostration, they remain in prostration. Because they want to make some more dua. They want to stay in prostration. The imam is not prostrating long enough for them, so they leave following the imam, and they make their own salat. Yani, they just prostrate by themselves, and they don't follow the imam in this way as we have been ordered. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُعْتَمَّ بِهِ. The imam has been placed there to be followed, na'am. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said here in that particular book, discussing this matter. And from another book, the Shaykh says concerning the women, and this is also applicable to men, he says, this is in Majmu' Fatawa of the Shaykh and his collection of legal rulings, rahimahullah, that some of the women are holding the mushaf and they are praying with it in order to follow the imam in his recitation. Yani, they are holding the mushaf in their hand, following the recitation of the imam. I don't know, maybe to make sure he's not making mistakes. And if he makes a mistake, what are they going to do? I don't know. Huh? And men do it also. Plenty of men do it. The Shaykh said, وَقَدْ قَالَ شَيْخُ الْإِبْنِ عُثَيْمِينَ رَحِمَهَ اللَّهِ مَجْمُوَ فَتَاوَى لَا أَرَى أَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ يُتَابِعَ الْإِمَامِ مِنَ الْمُصْحَفِ. I do not see the correctness of any person following the imam by holding the mushaf in their hand, reading from the mushaf. لِأَنَّهُ يَفُوتُ مَطْلُوبًا وَيَقَى فِي غَيْرُ مَغُوبٍ فِيهِ. Because in doing so, he has missed out on something that we are seeking, that's good, that we should be going after, and he has fallen into something that we want to avoid. And he has missed out on that which is good, and he has fallen into that which is evil. He has missed out on looking at the place of prostration. This is from the sunnah, that when a person is in salat, their eyes should be on the place of prostration. But instead their eyes are on the mushaf. And looking at the mushaf and reading from it is just fine, but not in salat. And likewise, they have missed out on the sunnah of placing their hands, their right hand on their left hand on their chest. And this is also from the sunnah. And they have fallen into that which is undesirable, and that is the movement of carrying the mushaf, yani the printed copy of Quran, carrying it and opening it and closing it and putting it down every time they have to, yani, go into ruku or sujood. All of this movement, there's no need for it, and it is not legislated. And there are many other mistakes that could be mentioned. And the Shaykh stops here and he says, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And just quickly, in the time remaining, I also want to look at the question or the issue of the children attending the masjid. And that's part of our topic tonight, and perhaps it should have been, you know, a separate topic, but in any case, we're running out of time. So, yani, I want to mention the hadith of Amr ibn Sulaym al-Zuraqi. أنه سمع أبا قتادة رضي الله عنه يقول بين نحن في المسجد جلوس خرج علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحمل أمامة بنت أبي العاص ابن ربيع رضي الله عنه وأمها زينب بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهي صبية يحملها على عاتقه فصلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهي على عاتقه يضعها إذا ركع ويعيدها إذا قام حتى قضى صلاته يفعل ذلك بها متفق عليه. يعني in this hadith it's reported that Amr heard from Abu Qatada رضي الله عنه that we were sitting with in the masjid and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to us while he was carrying Umama, the daughter of Abi al-As al-Rabiya, and she was the daughter, يعني Umama was the daughter of Zainab, yani the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani Umama is the granddaughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his daughter Zainab. And she was a small child and he was carrying her on his shoulder. And then he prayed like this while he was carrying her on his shoulder. And he would put her down when he went into ruku and then he would pick her back up when he stood up until he completed the prayer doing this with her. Muttafaqun alayh, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and this exact wording is from the Sunan of Abu Dawud, although the origin of the hadith in its exact meaning is reported by both Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith is a clear proof and a clear evidence of the permissibility of bringing children into the masjid. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah was asked, what is the ruling concerning bringing small children, which are under the age of tamyiz, yani that didn't reach the age of recognition, that they understand, they know right from wrong. And these children, maybe they're wearing diapers that perhaps, or more than likely, contain najasa, yani impurities. And if they are brought to the masjid, should they be removed? Should they be told to leave, or should they be forced to leave, or not? And the Shaykh answered by saying, rahimahullah, bringing small children to the masjid, there's no harm in doing so. مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْهُمْ أَذِيَّ, as long as there's no harm coming from them. Yani is it permissible to bring a small child to the masjid? Na'am. But with what condition? As long as it doesn't bring any harm, that their presence in the masjid doesn't cause harm to the people in the masjid. فَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ أَذِيَّ فَإِنَّهُمْ يُمْنَعُونَ. But rather if harm comes from them, then they should be prevented from entering the masjid. But how should they be prevented? Yani, the way they should be prevented is by talking to the people who are responsible for them. Yani, saying to them that your children are yushawishuna alayna, they are disturbing us, distracting us, they are causing harm to us, and something like this, making them understand that the children attending the masjid is, yani, in contradiction to the nature of what should be taking place in the masjid and the environment that should be, yani, established in the masjid. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he entered into the salat, yani he would begin the prayer and he would intend or desire to make the prayer long, and then he would hear the crying of a small child, so he would shorten his prayer for fear that it would be a test and a trial for the mother of that child that is crying. Yani what does this indicate? Not only that the children were attending the masjid, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was considerate of them. He was considerate of them. Yani he was short in his prayer that he intended to lengthen because of the crying of the children for fear that their mothers would be put to difficulty by him lengthening the prayer. And this is an indication, the Shaykh says, rahimahullah, that the small children were present in the masjids in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as we said previously, that is, if any harm comes from them, then they should be prevented by discussing it with those who are responsible for them, so that it will not lead to any fitna by just trying to remove the children from the masjid without, yani, without taking the proper course of action. So the solution to this problem is that the children that are causing disturbance in the masjid, yani, they should be prevented from the masjid by talking to whoever is responsible for them to avoid the fitna. As far as the issue of, yani, them children attending the masjid, yani, in it of itself, even without, yani, disturbance or distraction, فَلَيْسَ الْأَفْضَلْ إِحْضَارًا, yani, it is not better, it is not preferable, it is not really the best situation to bring children to the masjid. But if a mother is forced to bring the child to the masjid because there's nobody in the house to attend to that child, and the mother wants to attend the dars, yani, a lesson that's class that's taking place in the masjid, or she wants to, yani, attend the qiyam in Ramadan, or whatever is like this for some beneficial reason, if she's forced to take the child because there's nobody to attend to the child, then there's no harm in her doing so. However, this is with the condition that she brings the child that will not cause harm to the people, that will not, yani, cause disturbance in the masjid. Even if the father brings the child to the masjid, sometimes the father may help his wife by taking the child, because she's always stuck with the child, he says, let me take the child. There's no harm in the father bringing the child to the masjid, yani, as long as this child does not cause disturbance to him, yani, disturbing the father, because he is occupied with protecting the child from any harm coming to the child. So even then he is not able to perform his prayer properly. And if the child is so small that they are wearing diapers or the like of it, then they are not even going to benefit from attending the masjid anyway. But as far as the child who has reached the age of tamyiz or 7 years or more than that, where they understand the distinction between right and wrong and they understand the affairs, these children whom we have been commanded by the Prophet ﷺ to order them to pray, as far as those children have reached the age that we are ordering them to pray, then their situation is different. These children will benefit from attending the masjid. And we are not able, yani, the Shaykh says, but we are not able to make a judgment on anybody. Yani, we have to, every case should be judged differently. But here the Shaykh is making a distinction between the child, which they attending the masjid is of no benefit to the child, rather, no benefit to the people in the masjid, and the child who, maybe we should be patient with that child, whose attendance in the masjid will benefit them. Yani, maybe a man has to bring his child to the masjid because the mother is not at home, or maybe there's no mother, maybe the mother has passed away, or whatever. So this, in this case, situation where the mother is not available and the man brings the child to the masjid, then there's no harm even in that. No. Allahu musta'an. And the Shaykh, he says here, however, if the child, if the mother or father bringing the child to the masjid is actually going to disturb the whole masjid, and there's nobody in the house to attend to the child, then in this case, the man has, even the man has a legitimate reason to, yani, be absent from the congregational prayer in order to protect that child from any harm coming to them and not leaving them alone. And in brief, one other fatwa, and we'll close with this. The Shaykh says, he was also asked, rahimahullah, is it permissible for a man to go to the masjid while he has small children with him who are less than 4 years old? And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, said, the children who are less than 4 years old, generally speaking, they are not capable of performing the prayers properly and performing them well at that age. Yani, he says, al-ghalib, meaning generally speaking, doesn't mean everyone. Maybe a child 4 years old, it has, yani, discipline and control, and they know the masjid and how to act, and they come and they pray, and they do well, that's different. But he's saying, generally speaking, most of the children at that age, they don't perform the prayer well, because they haven't reached the age where they understand the difference between right and wrong. But rather, generally speaking, the age where the child can understand is when they're 7 years old. And this is the age in which the Prophet ﷺ has commanded us to order our children to pray if they reach the age of seven. And the Prophet ﷺ said, order your children to pray, to perform the salat when they reach the age of seven. So if these children who are less than that, who are 4 years old or less than that, who do not perform the prayers well, for them it is not proper and it is not befitting to bring them to the masjid. Allahumma illa inda durura. Yani except in case of necessity. Yani a man or a woman is compelled to carry their child, if otherwise they can't come to the masjid. Yani by necessity. In that case, inshallah, they should attend to the child. Yani if there's no one to take care of that child. And this, yani, is permissible then for them to bring the child, yani, as long as they don't allow this child to cause harm to the people who came to the masjid to pray. But if they cause harm to the people, then you may not bring them to the masjid. And if the child requires that somebody remain at home with them, then somebody has to remain at home with them. In this case, even the man is excused from attending the salat in jama'ah, since he has remained behind for a legitimate excuse, and that is to protect and preserve the safety of that child. And alhamdulillah, this is the summary of what we're going to present tonight. And I hope that inshallah it becomes clear to us that the women and the children are allowed to attend the masjid. It's permissible for them to attend the masjid. However, there are rules and regulations. There are ahkam that should be observed. There are things that are prohibited and things that are permissible. And there are adab or manners or etiquettes that we must observe when we attend the masjid. That is for men, that is for women, that is for children. And hopefully some of these we have covered, and inshallah we'll benefit by observing them. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.